My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us on the stream. We're still working through the audio, as you can see, Jonathan and our engineering staff working tirelessly to make sure that this sounds okay for you as soon as possible. And, of course, making sure that it sounds good in time for D'Lo and KC, who will be joining you at noon and hanging out with you until 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento's Sports Lita. Good night for the Kings last night. They got their win over the Clippers.
Yep.
They also got some help down at, what is Kenny call it?
The dental office.
The dental office.
He can call it the dental office, but if he's going to do that, like, Golden One looks like a shower cap. I mean... It does. It looks like a giant chrome shower cap.
Is he referring? I always thought he was referring to the inside because it's kind of sterile.
Okay. Well, yeah, but Golden One is sterile as well.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of concrete floors. It's a lot of white walls. It doesn't have a lot of stuff up. Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
All right. The Warriors did the Kings a big time solid. They beat the Dallas Mavericks 104-100. And man, any Dallas loss at this point, the Kings will take, especially given how hot they've been. They've won seven in a row.
I think that's what people got so caught up with. Oh my gosh, the Kings lost to Dallas twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're a game ahead of you right now.
Yeah.
And they're also tied in the season series.
Mm-hmm.
And conference record, the Kings have a better conference record. If you finish the season tied with Dallas and only Dallas for the sixth spot, you get in and they're the seven. That's it. Now, I think there's even more to it. Like if we get to a point where a three-way tie or a four-way tie for one playoff spot at the end of the season, then it gets really, really interesting.
I'm trying to grab Dallas's schedule the rest of the way.
I've got it.
What do you got?
They play Hawks,
oh boy.
Warriors again.
Oh boy.
Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, get ready for this. At Hornets, at Heat. Pistons.
Oh, no.
OKC.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Nice. So that's the problem that you have is that Dallas, I mean.
You need, so, okay, here, let's do this while we're here. The Kings also, real quick, got some help from the Minnesota Timberwolves, who beat the Houston Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
So with the Rockets' loss and the Warriors' win, Golden State is now three up on the Rockets for the final play-in spot with seven to play.
Oof.
That avoids the scenario where the Kings wind up facing the Rockets in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Which would be, I think a good thing. So you've got the Mavs schedule there.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think the Mavs are going in that stretch, realistically?
Oh, they're going. They're not going to.
They're beating the Hawks. I think they're going to beat Golden State because that one's at home.
Well, they're going to beat Detroit. They're going to beat Charlotte. So that gives them four.
Jeez.
They still have OKC, but OKC is the last game of the season, right?
Yeah. And I think OKC is going to be playing for something there.
Maybe.
That's tight. It's tight at the top of the West.
That's true.
But let's call how many games is that? Seven? Let's call it 5-2.
Yeah, 5-2, man. 6-1.
So you got to
go
7-0?
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
You need the Mavs to lose a couple that they shouldn't lose there.
Okay.
You need Golden State to beat them, and you need, like, Miami to beat them as well. And then the Thunder, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be interesting. This is why you were kind of hoping that the Pelicans would drop back down, because I think it can come down to a three-team tie,
mm-hmm.
and that's when it's like, okay, like I know the Kings are 0-4 against them, right? But what are they against Phoenix? And they're 0-2 against Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the season series, the Pelicans have already lost the season series to the Suns.
Right.
So if the Kings can...
That's so weird.
If the Kings can beat the Suns, mm-hmm. win the season series against the Suns,
okay.
and then it goes Pelicans, Suns, and Kings all tied for the sixth spot, the Kings would be in if their conference record's better. And man, you can even look at the Kings' so conference, like what they have left in their conference is tough, but it's the three East Coast games where you're playing Knicks and then Boston and then back to Brooklyn, where, you know, if you go 1-2 in that stretch, maybe even 2-1, if you went 2-1, it'd be like, holy cow.
Oh, you would take that so fast.
Yeah, you would take it like right now, just sign me up.
Yeah.
Right. But 1-2 is more likely, but those are non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
So of the games the Kings have left, they only have four conference games, and they lead these guys in conference records. So,
but also if you're going 1-2 in on this road trip, where they're at New York tomorrow, then a second night of a back-to-back at Boston, and then at Brooklyn on Sunday. I want to talk to the schedule maker. I just want to chat. Not that this is some egregious, wow, the Kings are getting hosed on this. Playing Boston on the second night of a back-to-back kind of stinks. But why is it New York, Boston, then Brooklyn? I don't understand why it's not just New York, Brooklyn, back-to-back. And then at Boston. Like, come on, we're reducing carbon footprint here.
I agree, Kyle.
It's just, this is insane.
Yeah, and why would you have an East Coast trip in the last week of the season? And then why would you finish the season with a back-to-back? The Kings finished the season Phoenix and Portland back-to-back.
No, it's Friday, Sunday.
Oh, it's Friday, Sunday?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought they had one more back-to-back.
Just the 4th and 5th.
Okay.
Oh, no, then the 11th, 12th. So it's Thursday, Pelicans, Friday, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Sunday, Portland.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Man.
Yeah.
See, but that's the thing is if you're going 2-1 on this road trip, where let's say you beat the Knicks and Nets.
Okay.
Which is definitely possible in that 3-game East Coast swing. You basically then have to go undefeated the rest of the way.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go 4-0 against OKC, New Orleans, Phoenix, and Portland, which is not out of the question.
Okay, well, but that's just to catch Dallas. And this is why I think the Pelicans are going to be...
6 wins?
Maybe even a different target. Yeah, so the Pelicans have a...
I'd put you at 50 wins.
Really?
I think so.
Well, if they go 6-1. Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. If you go 2-1 on this East Coast trip and then sweep the rest.
Yeah. So the Pelicans have the Magic, the Spurs. Spurs are playing much better right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the Suns, at Portland, at Sacramento, at Golden State, and then they finish with the Lakers. So again, I could
the hang up I have here is okay. Orlando's tough. San Antonio's playing a little tougher, but. I'm with Vassell and Sohan out for the year. It's a lot of Wemby. Wemby almost had a quadruple double last night.
That's crazy.
He had a double-double with points and rebounds, and then I think had 8 assists and 9 blocks.
His development throughout this season has been stunning to watch. Just how he's getting better and better and better.
Just since the first time we saw him at Golden One in January.
Yeah.
We watched it and we went, okay, good player, but man, he looks really raw. A lot of bad shots, some bad decisions, and now he's just single-handedly carrying them to really tight games against the Nuggets. Sure,
yeah,
man.
I think what we were thinking when we were watching him is this is going to take a little while for him to clean up some of the stuff he's doing. And now I don't feel like it's going to take all that long.
Yeah, me too. Especially if they figure out the point guard spot where they could get a really good pick and roll player with him.
Yeah.
But anyways, that sidetracked. With the thing that worries me with the Pelicans is those last two against Golden State and LA. Golden State and LA might not be playing for anything at that point. And you might be looking at a situation where you're playing a version of the Golden State Warriors where like it's Lester Quinones and Moses Moody running around for 40 minutes.
I don't know. You could have
40 minutes of Moses Moody would be great.
You could have a spot at the end of the season where, again, the Pelicans play the Lakers the final game of the season.
Lakers might have something sewn up.
Well, yeah, but they might not. It could be the Lakers and Warriors who are fighting it out for
sure. That
who
could
gets
definitely
home court.
That could definitely be happening for yeah. sure. They might, and that's a back to back at Sacramento at Golden State for New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
There's a definite possibility that they're running into a Golden State team that's like rabid dog desperate. Need a win.
Yeah.
And then the same thing a couple nights later against the Lakers. That's on the table as well.
Okay.
I am also concerned, though, where they're going into those two games and the Warriors are like, all right, this 10 seed's sewn up. I'm going to rest everybody.
No, that's true.
And then the Lakers the next night, like, all right, LeBron, get a night off. AD, get a night off.
You know, Kyle, we just keep saying this. It's the brilliance of the play-in.
It's really... Can you imagine... If there was no play-in, the Sacramento Kings, I keep closing tabs. I need to stop closing tabs. The Sacramento Kings right now, without the play-in, would be a game and a half up on the Lakers. So they'd be in the seven, tied with the Suns still. And they'd be a game and a half up on the Lakers for the last playoff spot.
Mm.
So there'd still be a little bit of intrigue.
Yeah.
But not nearly this amount of, okay, trying to stay out of the play-in. There's all these scenarios where they can make the playoffs. I'm with you, man. I love the play-in. I was so against it at first. I was so against it. But now I'm all the way in. It's so fun.
All right.
And then the games are fun. Like single elimination. Well, like it's a little sprinkle of March Madness. It's like the NCAA season ends April 8th. In fact, there's going to be a watch party presented by Michelob Ultra, Superior Light Beer, down at Tom's Watch Bar.
On Monday,
April 8th.
Yeah. Yep. I will be there.
You'll be there. D'Lo and KC will be there.
Yep.
Jesse will be there. I don't want to put it on Charlie, but Charlie might pull up.
Charlie
and that's
might
just a delight.
Just because.
Yeah, so make sure to head out to Tom's Watch Bar in Doko and catch the national championship game. We are going to be out there. Again, sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. NCAA season ends. March Madness is over. But then, hey, a little sprinkle of single elimination NBA basketball. Just to tide you
up. Just a little bit.
I love it. Yeah, all the way on the plane. I have a Keon Ellis question for you.
Yep.
And I don't know if you've followed this conspiracy theory that has bubbled up around the Oakland Athletics.
Yes.
But I hate it. And we need to discuss it before we keep doing basketball. So we're going to put a pin in the basket hoops.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about this wild ass A's conspiracy theory next on ESPN 1320.
Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I think what's going to happen is I think we're going to have to shut down the video stream.
Eventually.
And launch a new one, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, luckily Jesse's here. So, you catch that? We might have to stop the stream because our audio sounds really bad in here. We're producing on the fly. Hello, everybody. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're going to try and produce this show on the fly. Jesse, we might have to end the video stream and launch a new one and see if that works because our audio is not great. Don't do that just yet. But we are going to...
Wait, it's better?
Now it's fixed? All right, hey, we're just going to rock with it. Apparently the audio is fixed. Hopefully it is. What's up? What's good, everybody? Shout out to you. Right now with us, we are here. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Big win for the Kings last night. We're just going to Manny in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Go hang out there if you don't. It's a great way to consume the show. Manny in the chatty house wanted us to just restart the show.
From the beginning, just say it all over again, yeah, like we script it.
Just re-rack it.
We'll talk about Luca and the P word.
Oh. Yeah, if you missed that, Luca called me the P word. Man, tough scene for me. And it's back to bad. That's so funny. I wish I knew what was going on. Anyways, doesn't matter. We're doing a radio show on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us on the radio and on the free Odyssey app. I want to talk about the A's just real quick. Have you followed this wristband conspiracy?
Kyle, it's wild.
Okay, so if you've not followed it, the A's benched Brett Rooker, who was their only all-star last year. He had 30 homers, and he got benched this season. He's played the last couple nights, but had gotten benched. Estuary Ruiz got sent down to AAA despite leading the team in like every statistical category at the plate because of something about they got Tyler Nevin, so they can't give Ruiz at bats, and so he needs more at bats, so he has to play every day, so he has to do that in AAA. Because apparently he can't do that for the Major League Club because of 27-year-old Tyler Nevin, whose career numbers are worse than Ruiz's.
Yes. So,
and he's also 27 years old. I don't know if I mentioned that. Also, the son of Mark Kotze's former teammate, Phil Nevin, but that's a whole other thing. So the common thread, so Last Dive Bar, one of the fan groups who has done a ton of awesome stuff to keep the A's in, or to try and keep the A's in Oakland, and to fight back against an ownership group that is not going to fight for the fan base. Love the guys at Last Dive Bar. What they did with Fans Fest was amazing. What they've done with the boycott and reverse boycott, they have just done an incredible job. They noticed that there were photos, just on Getty or wherever, of Estuary Ruiz and Rooker wearing Last Dive Bar wristbands. Like just little bracelet things, you know, like the Livestrong bracelets like that, yeah. But it says Last Dive Bar. Players have worn Last Dive Bar shirts. The whole thing is the Oakland Coliseum is baseball's Last Dive Bar. It's the bit. And I think they started as a joke that, oh, hey, Ruiz and Rooker are being punished for wearing Last Dive Bar merch.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely believe it started as a joke. But this has now gotten picked up nationally. Barstool is running with it. A couple of writers for different, Dave Zirin, who's a big sports media guy on the internet.
Okay.
Has run with it just as fact that the A's have benched and sent down these guys for these wristbands. It's a funny conspiracy theory as a joke. Like as a joke, it's like, ah, yeah, good one. But here's the reality of the situation, since apparently now people are deciding that this is just real. Rooker was not hitting well when he got benched. The Ruiz thing is weird. The Ruiz thing is really, really strange. And if you want to have a conspiracy theory that this is nepotism and a shot for Tyler Nevin because his dad is homies with Mark Kotze, then fine. I'll let you roll with that. The Ruiz thing is definitely weird. But I promise John Fisher isn't watching at all, much less close enough to go, hey, those guys, are those Last Dive Bar wristbands? Get them out of here.
Mm.
I promise that's not happening.
Okay, so here's my problem that I have.
It's please.
That you're, if you're going to bring in Nevin, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But you have these other players like Abraham Toro, and you have Daryl Hernandez, who are both infielders, which is exactly what Tyler Nevin has been throughout his career. Now, Tyler Nevin can play left field, I guess.
Sure.
Which just means that he can catch a fly ball, and he's not going to be a complete fool, and he's not going to throw the ball away. I don't know what his arm is or anything else. But you had these other players, especially Daryl Hernandez, which became like a really good story. But he's 0-7 on the season with three strikeouts. That's who you send down, and it's not a demotion. It's like, hey, we want to get you every day at bats. You don't send down a guy who's batting .429, Kyle.
Who led the league in stolen bases last year.
Yeah, who stole, 67 bases last year? And had
plays good defense.
An OPS of 1.232?
Yeah, led the team.
Well, that's where he's at right now. It's just ridiculous. His on-base percentage, you want to complain because he's not getting walks? Well, he's figured out a way to not worry about that. He gets hits instead. Mm-hmm. So his .375 on-base percentage, let's say it's third on the team. So I'm just, it's embarrassing to watch a team that you feel like what's happening off the field and their want to screw over their fan base and to belittle them and to do the worst of the worst is now playing into the actual game itself. I don't get it. Again, I said it yesterday. David Force is a really good general manager. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a really good baseball guy. What are you doing? Why are you still there? Why are you being part of what's happening? And that's not okay. And you know, I watched Jeff Petrie do it with the Maloofs down the stretch where Jeff Petrie's literally, you know, got a shoestring budget and he's got the lowest payroll in the NBA and he's got to go trade for Marquise Daniels just so he can get to the floor. Mm-hmm. But that's, it's just an embarrassment, man.
It is. But I want to stick on the conspiracy side of this right now.
Okay.
Brent Rooker is 2-16, leading the league with 11 strikeouts.
Yeah.
11 strikeouts and 16 at-bats is really bad.
Yeah.
FYI. That's why Brent Rooker got benched. And John Fisher does not need conspiracy theories, as James just laid out. Does not need conspiracy theories to be a bad owner. And to be putting constraints on the front office in how they need to build a team to make sure that he is 30th in the league in payroll.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't need to be these weird conspiracies too, which take away from the severity and the actual sincere bad things that are going on. John Fisher is an evil, evil owner. That is facts.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a good baseball owner. He cares not about winning. He wants to move the team to Vegas, and barring a miracle, he's going to succeed. And he's going to count his cash the entire way.
That's right.
What the A's have done, and what A's fans specifically have done, thanks in part to organizations like Last Dive Bar, in shifting the narrative from, because what it was nationally was, wow, the A's just don't have any fans. Where now people recognize, thanks to, again, the efforts of the Oakland 68s and Last Dive Bar, these fan groups pushing out their message and getting Ken Rosenthal and the Foul Territory podcast and guys at MLB Network and guys at ESPN, Jeff Passan, pushing this idea that, like, hey, this is not the fans' fault. This is ownership's fault. Ownership has deliberately done this to move. They're major leaguing an actual, the movie, they're doing that actually. Like, that is now the prevailing thought. And that is how people view this. And I think it turns it into a little bit of a clown show when you're going, oh, hey, they're doing this because of these Last Dive Bar bracelets. Mm-hmm. Again, funny joke, genuinely funny. But when it starts getting picked up, it's like, hey, why isn't anyone covering this? National media needs to be, they're doing this. That's not why they're sending these dudes down. That's not why they're benching these dudes. The Ruiz thing is weird. He should not have been sent down.
No.
He was not sent down because of a bracelet, I promise.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
John Fisher couldn't pick Esty Ruiz out of a lineup.
Yeah.
Couldn't pick Brent Rooker out of a lineup, much less know that they were wearing Last Dive Bar wristbands and telling them to get out of town.
Yeah, I honestly, Kyle, the way it went from it being just really a funny gag and then them, you know, photoshopping the bracelets on everybody and it starts trending, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But to take it serious and to take it a different way, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we need to knock it off.
Yeah, because
like there's actual real things going on.
Yeah.
So that was just, like I said, it was funny at first and then it turned into, hey, these national media people like, hey, have you seen this? Mm. Like, oh my God. I could do an hour on, just media coverage and conspiracy theories and stuff in general.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that. That's not what this show is for.
We should talk about the news, though, when we come back from the break.
Yeah.
The potential move to Sacramento.
Yes, there is news on that front with the A's potentially coming to Sacramento. It looks like it's now leaning that way. We'll tell you the latest next. And then I need to get to this Keon Ellis question as well. We will get to that. And caller, you're on, but you're not up right now. Hang out on the line for us. And we will get to you after the break on the Farmer's Dog Talk Run. All right, we got to go.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Here's with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Let's do a giveaway. If you missed it, Eric B. and West Sac was our big winner of the Sacramento Kings jersey that we gave away for March. We'll be giving away another jersey in this month. Caller, I see you on the line. Hang out for us for just a second. If you want to enter to win a $100 gift certificate from Jiffy Lube and be entered to win the April Sacramento Kings jersey, you're going to go to ESPN1320.com right now. Or later, if you're driving and you want to do this when you get home, totally fine.
Okay.
But or to work, wherever you're going. ESPN1320.com. Go to the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page right on the front. You can't miss it. And you're going to type in the code word Len.
Len.
L-E-N. Shout out to Alex Len. He is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game. Not, if you went and looked at the box score, you'd go, okay, decent little game off the bench.
4 points, 7 rebounds, yeah, three blocks,
productive
1 steal.
Productive game off the bench, but you got Domas with a near 20-20 triple-double, all this other stuff. Keegan lighting it up.
A 20-20 near triple-double, not a near 20-20 triple-double.
2020 near triple double. Yeah. A 2020 double double with 9 assists.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But Alex Len, man, he just, it felt like the entire complexion of the game just switched when he came in. He just set a tone that the Kings needed to take over that game. And that's why he's our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game.
Yeah, shout out to Alex Len.
Yeah. Love to see it for him. We have, what, 7 more games? So 7 more $100 gift certificates to give away and 7 more opportunities for you to enter to win that Kings jersey. Every time you enter, by the way, you're entering again.
That's right.
It's not you enter once and your name's like, nope.
Nope.
You want to enter as many times as you can.
There you go.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Farmer's Dog talk line. Bark at us anytime. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. Caller, you were on and up. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Javier from Vacaville. How you doing, Mr. Matthews? Mr. Ham?
Doing well, huh?
I went to the game yesterday, and I was in section 115, seat 1112. Great man. It's a great view. I've never been.
What do you got for us?
I've never been that part of the arena. We had 4 Clippers fans behind us. But I just had a question. I really feel like Edwards, man, would have got a great look for us to see how he could defend against Harden and Paul George. Or do you feel like Mr. Ham and, you know, Mr. Madsen, it's all, you know, game in, game out basis of his playing time? Because, you know, in the playoffs, we're going to be able to see, we're going to need him to be able to see if he can defend guys like on the perimeter. He didn't get any ounce of meaningful playing time. And secondly, I hope we can all understand as Kings fans, I think the 6th seed is still not out of the realm of possibility, if not the 5th seed. But I just wanted your guys' 2 takes on
cool.
that. Cause
thanks, Hop. Yeah, I'm all in on Kessler Edwards minutes.
Okay, look, I get it. It is what it is. Like, he's the 13th man or the 12th
That's
man.
It. That's
and,
it.
Like, sorry. And I like Kessler. And, you know, even the other night, he had such an impactful game against Luka. I thought he was spectacular. He had the nine points on 3-3 shooting, and he played excellent defense. I even went over to him afterward and said, hey, nice game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, thanks, man.
Cool.
Like, those are like, but he's a young player. He can use the feedback. He can, you know, having positive reinforcement, like even if it's from a media member, like, look, it was a nice game. You're watching him. But it's going to be a game in and game out situation. If Chris Duarte comes in and starts hitting his shots, he's the guy with the most experience.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that you need to figure it out. If Davion Mitchell or like name Trey Lyles or Sasha Vezinkov, mm-hmm. Sasha gives you just a much better offensive threat. Even if Kessler hits 3 of 3, Sasha Vezinkov is still a bigger threat. And that's why Mike is doing this. Like,
I think the idea of Kessler Edwards is still greater than the practice of Kessler Edwards.
Of course.
Like, that's just, has there been tangible growth this season? 1,000%. But not enough to the point where you're going into a playoff series and you're going, hey, Kessler Edwards 15 minutes a night because he's going to guard Luka or Brandon Ingram or whoever. Maybe somebody's cooking in a playoff series. Let's say they face the Clippers in a playoff series, and Kawhi just, they have nobody who can slow him down. Maybe throw Kessler Edwards out there for 3 minutes and see what happens. But that's the only scenario where that goes down. They will exhaust a bunch of options before they resort to that.
Well, and I'm just going to, this is why, again, we talk about, I've covered this team for 14 years. And I get Kings fans saying, why not Kessler? Why not Kessler? Why not Kessler?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because for 12 of the years that I covered the team, and for 16 years total, this team was horrible. And late in the season, you would give Kessler Edwards a shot.
Sure.
You're a 44-win team trying to make the playoffs.
Clawing for maybe the 5 seed.
Clawing and whatever you got to do to try to make this thing, right? You go with what works. And I know that's why some fan reaction is like, oh, we got to give this guy a shot. Like, no. That's not the way it's going to go. You're going to go with who gives the team a best opportunity to win, not who needs to be developed or anything else at this point.
Yeah, I'm right there. The reason I think that I joke about, hey, I need Kessler Edwards minutes. That's kind of a bit, because the theory on Kessler Edwards is like, man, 6'8", good length, knock down a 3, pause. You let
that, yes, that's what the Kings need.
Yep.
But that's like, I don't know. It just, it is not yet at a point that you feel like, hey, he can give you that 20 minutes a night. Night in, night out, you're going to get that. And maybe he gets there eventually. But yeah, you're not, to your point, you're not experimenting with it right now.
No, on a 30-win team, Kessler Edwards is playing 20 to 24 minutes a night down the stretch to see what you got.
Do you know where Kessler Edwards would get a ton of minutes for the Spurs right now?
Oh, yeah.
He'd be playing 38 minutes a night.
Or what we just saw, Utah Jazz. Like, yeah, like these are teams, like he could actually play the Portland Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm.
You'd give Kessler Edwards an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who you are now.
Yeah. But I think the other side of that coin is what I just said. If you're in a playoff series and something, there's just a guy you can't stop. Like I feel last year it would have been like, man, I guess you throw Kessler Edwards in there. Like, and in fact, I think they did against Golden State.
He had a couple of big games down the stretch, and people were like, oh, Kessler.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like, let's not put pressure on somebody.
But they're just not, yeah, it's just, it's not quite there yet. I love the theory, and I'm still in on Kessler Edwards as a player. I don't think he's going to be much of a factor in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's my thought. The latest on the A's to Sacramento, Casey Pratt from vacation, by the way. We were going to have Casey on the show, and he's like, brah.
Vacation.
Sent me a picture of the beach that he's sitting on, like, and breaking this news. So last night, if you missed it, Casey Pratt of ABC7 down in the Bay Area. He's been all over this A's relocation story, from staying in Oakland to moving to Vegas to temporarily housing it, the Coliseum, to temporarily housing in Sacramento. Here's what he had last night via Twitter. He said, so here's what I'm hearing. A's met with the city today, Oakland. A's meet with Sacramento tomorrow. That's Wednesday. That's today.
Today.
More on that in a second. A's have internal meeting Thursday. Some employees have been told sack is happening. Layoffs likely incoming. Stay tuned. What he posted today was, today is the Sacramento meeting. Sounds like A's would, quote, staff up in SAC by using Kings/Rivercats front office infrastructure, leaving many behind in Oakland. Man. That's the part of this that's also really tough is, like I said, I love the, I'm from the Bay Area. I'm not from Oakland, but I'm from east of Oakland. I spent a lot of time there, certainly spent a lot of time at the Coliseum. I love the Bay Area. I also not grew up in Sacramento, but I personally, as a man, grew up a lot in Sacramento, and I love this city as well. I would love to have a baseball team here that people like Kenny Caraway, huge baseball fans, can take his sons to Major League Baseball right down the road at Sutter Health Park. And any baseball fan that wants to go do that and see Major League Baseball, I'm here for it, and I hope you do that. But there's that this part of it. The part of it that, okay, the A's can't come to a deal with Oakland because Oakland rightfully has the A's over a barrel. They're going to ask for the moon to let the A's play at the Coliseum.
And they have.
As they should.
Mm-hmm.
And if the A's say, no, we want to go to this smaller ballpark and in Sacramento and be there, then fine. Cool. But it's the people who work and live in Oakland and this is their livelihood. And the A's just saying, nope, you're all gone. You're not part of this organization anymore. We're out of here. We'll go to Sacramento and we'll snag people that are already working up there for the River Cats and for the Kings. Like that sucks.
It's harsh. Yeah. It really is. And yeah, like, look, I grew up an A's fan. I've gone to a bajillion games,
sure,
like throughout my life. I would prefer that the A's stay in Oakland. I would prefer they stay in Northern California. But I also, like, when you back out a little bit and you start to think about some of the advantages to having the A's in Sacramento,
mm-hmm,
for Vivek Ranadive and for the Kings, his ownership group, not just Vivek himself, but like, look, I think it's something that we fully just gloss over. If they're going to be here for 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm,
the Kipton, the Sawyer Hotel, mm-hmm, just picked up 81 nights a year of visitors, mm-hmm, of visiting baseball clubs,
mm-hmm,
40, 50 rooms, mm-hmm, sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the advantages to having them here in Sacramento, the fact that, again, you'll go to a Kings game and the Boston Red Sox are playing right now in Oakland. You could literally have Boston Red Sox players sitting courtside or sitting in the stands. Mm-hmm. the Yankees, the Cubs, whoever it might be.
You see the appeal for sure.
I see the appeal completely. And if you can prove that you're a major league city, it would help the growth.
1,000%.
And I don't want to be like all in and support this 100% because I know what the outcome is. But that's the problem. I think we all know what the outcome is. They're not going to stay in Oakland. And so I see a lot of positives. I hate, though, that this is the way it's going to go for so many people.
Yep.
And either way, the jobs are ending, like, in Oakland. They're going to Las Vegas or going somewhere else. Whether it's today, whether it's 3 years from now, they aren't taking, like, paying relocation fees for, 100 employees to move to Las Vegas.
No chance.
They're not. It's kind of like the thing is playing out the way it's going to play out. Yep. And, you know, I don't think it's bad for Sacramento to be involved. I just certainly think that you can have, you're still stuck with John Fisher mm-hmm. as the owner here. And yep. so the A's aren't going to be good, but you can go see baseball for other people.
Yeah.
Like Giants fans and Padres fans and Cubs fans. And it's just like, you know, going to a Kings game and seeing a bunch of Boston Celtics jerseys in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see
Shout
a lot of that.
Jesse.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of that. And baseball is a great town, and it's a great city for baseball. Sacramento is, and like I wish things were going to go differently, but I don't think they're going to go differently.
Yeah, it really sounds like, based on the latest from Casey Pratt, that the A's are targeting Sacramento, where they can renegotiate their TV contract and still get some money from that while also not kowtowing to the city of Oakland at all. Because I don't think they want to negotiate with Oakland.
No.
And I mean, don't think they have any interest in doing that. John Fisher wasn't even at the meeting yesterday, I saw.
Mm. Yeah. And what one of the things they asked for was like $19.7 million a year in the lease payment. And what do they pay now? Like, isn't it the most ridiculous? I think it's $1 million.
It is so cheap.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's not much for the lease agreement.
Right, yeah. It just, yeah.
And, I mean, they're going to have to give something here, too. They're going to have to, you know.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm guessing where Oakland is like, hey, man, you guys walked away from the negotiating table. You guys want to leave. So you can bounce. Or here's this. We would like the moon.
Yeah.
Well, Sacramento and Vivek Ranadive and everybody trying to make that happen. It's like, hey, we're trying to prove we're a major league city. We will take this. And like you said, there's a bunch of benefits to that. And I don't want to. This is not to say that it's not bashing the idea. I'm anti John Fisher in all of this, no matter what the city is.
Yeah.
Whether it's Salt Lake City or Nashville or Portland or Sacramento or whatever, I'm just not going to support the guy. And I kind of appreciate that the city of Oakland has taken the route that they have. And instead of going like, oh my God, yeah, sure. Yeah. Stay here. You can play for free in the Coliseum. Just stay another four, because they know.
Yeah.
And they don't want to. They don't want to help John Fisher either, and I respect it. Kenny Caraway is in the building for the handoff. How's it going, man?
What up, though?
Sounds like
Kyle.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get like you, bro. Thank you for the tickets, by the way. Thank you for the tickets. That was really nice of you. That was really nice. I walked in. I said, I know Kenny, and they were like, you know, okay, get in here. Here's a wristband. You go sit down there. Pick a seat.
I'm not sure if that would work down there. They got mad at me about this time last year, so I don't know if that worked down there.
I said, I know Kenny Caraway. They threw me out like Jazz in Fresh Prince. No, it was great. It was a ton of fun.
It looked awesome.
It was.
That looked awesome.
Did you hear my Luka Doncic story?
I didn't.
Okay, you have to check it out.
Check it out. I knew you were going to talk about it, but I was trying to maneuver a couple other things, but I didn't get a chance to listen. But, you know, I was hoping that you were close enough. I saw some pictures. I was hoping you might, you know, trip Draymond, but apparently you didn't. Yep. And he played really good at the end of the game last night.
He did. That block was ridiculous.
That was big time.
It was ridiculous.
Got a bucket,
huge,
all that other stuff.
Huge for the Kings.
He played big last night.
Huge for the Kings, yeah. And that's why, just another example of why the Warriors deal with Draymond.
You got to deal with the chaos.
To beat the Spurs and to beat the Mavs at home.
Beat the Mavs. All is well
in
Chase Centerland.
I didn't tell you this. First play of the game. First play of the game? Second play of the game? Tim Hardaway Jr., corner three, and had kind of like backed up after he shot it. And nearly me and Nick Wagner sitting next to me, just right over our feet. I mean, it was this close to, and we just, the rest of the night, feet like under the chair.
is not trying to
being close to the game of basketball is always the best. Like, I say that on any level, right? Yeah. Like, not just NBA. Like, go to AAU games. Like, I want to sit right there.
Yeah.
I love being close to basketball like
that. Different.
Yeah. I know my partner on Cowbell, John Santiago, was sitting baseline taking pictures for us one time, and LeBron stepped on him and rolled his ankle missing this next night in Portland.
Oh, no.
That's my nightmare, bro.
Yeah, he fully stepped on John. And John wasn't, like, all sprawled out. He was, like...
Right,
of course. And LeBron falls on him and, like, But he did roll his ankle and didn't play the next night.
Oh, man.
He was fine. Damn. Anyway.
Good win for the Kings last night.
Good win for the Kings last
night. Needed that one.
Absolutely. Heck of a performance by the group as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things it had me thinking, I was thinking about this after the Utah game, but it was tough to say because it was Utah, is not that this team is better without the players that they've lost, but maybe this makes them a little different and, you know, forces other people to step up, forces other people to step their game up. And for two games, at least, we've seen that. I think Thursday is a huge game.
How's
huge
that?
Game on Thursday against the Knicks, because if you win that one, that sets you up to only need – I'm looking at 2-2. Like, I'm really hoping for 3-1, but if they go 2-2 on this four-gamer,
I see. Okay.
Come back, all right, I'll take that. If you get that game on Thursday, it obviously, math majors, gives you three more chances to get one more win.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lose that, now you got to kind of scramble – and maybe get a win that you don't expect. So I think Thursday's a huge game. And they've set themselves up with what they did last night.
Yeah. And Knicks team's tough, though.
They are
tough. Even when they're shorthanded.
But they're more shorthanded
right now, though. They're almost a little Kings-like. And right now they're in a spot where they're not playing the best basketball.
I feel like more teams in the league than not are very Kings-like right now.
Bucks lost to the Wizards.
I'm out on the Bucks, dude. I'm
out on the Bucks.
I've been out on the Bucks, and they continue doing things, and I'm like, yep, now I'm just kind of out. Joel Embiid coming back last night, A, surprised the heck out of me. B, he played really well.
Yeah.
And C, does it move the needle for you, Kenny, in the East, that he's back?
Joel, no, because I don't know how healthy he is. I know he came back. I know he's able to play.
Mm-hmm.
But is he able to be 80-90%? For a whole playoff season. And I don't know if he is, man. I don't know if he is. I hope he is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him play.
Yeah.
Hope he is, but I don't know. I don't know. So I gotta see. I say that to say I need to see more from him in these final 6, 7, 8 games to say, okay, he looks healthy. He's moving good.
Mm-hmm.
He can play back-to-backs or whatever. He's good to go for this playoff run.
I can't believe they came back and won last night.
Insane.
Yeah, that was on him, a lot of it. Like, just his presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they were losing late, and all of a sudden he comes in the game, and it's like, boom, boom. I look up, I'm like, wait a sec, they're going to win? Like, I was stunned, because I think it was like
an
8-point lead for OKC with like 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Knicks have lost 3 straight.
Oh.
Yeah, they're on a downturn right now.
And no OG.
Yeah, OG's still out. Julius Randle's still out.
Mitchell Robinson got hurt again. I don't know if he's out.
Brutal.
But he came back, and I think he rolled ankle again. So I don't know what his status is as of right now.
Man.
Yeah, they're dealing with that.
We talked about Keegan Murray yesterday with D'Lo, and you and I talked about this last week, I believe, when D'Lo was out.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago.
Anyways, you and I talked about his aggressiveness
and
how, man, 23 years old, like, you're starting to kind of become the player you're going to be.
Mm.
But with Malik Monk out of the lineup right now with his knee injury, the last two nights, Keegan Murray has taken 18 shots in each of the two nights.
I need that.
Hunter Patterson at The Athletic pointed out, first time he's done that in back-to-back games ever in his career. James dove into it this morning and went, hey, he didn't take 18 shots ever as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's done it on back-to-back nights. This, to me, is the stretch for him.
Mm.
I'm of the mind that, hey, if you can't do it now, then I can't. I feel differently about him as a player moving forward. Not that he's bad or anything.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, if I can't get 18 shots a night from you right now, then when am I ever going to get them?
Right. No,
which is kind of what I think they need from him down the stretch. But I've been super impressed with Keegan the last two nights.
I love it. I love what I'm seeing from him. just on the aggression level.
Yes.
I want him to make these shots, absolutely. But the most important thing is the 18 shot attempts, 18 FGAs. You know what I mean? I need to see that aggression.
Me too.
And the Kings need that aggression. I talked about it yesterday on the show. Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray in the game on Sunday, I think took a combined 30 shots, I think it was, maybe a little bit more. That needs to be every game for the rest of the season. Like, those two have to get the FGAs up, man. They have to. Yeah.
Even if the points aren't there, you still got to get the shots up.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of it. Like, that's what all this comes down to. I'd love to see Domas shooting it more last night. I think that's going to be a really big deal down the stretch as well. Harrison Barnes, 7 shots, and fine. Like, that's it. What do you say, 45 shots for their top three options? Mm. And then 21 from Trey Lyles and Davion Mitchell.
Davion.
It feels sustainable at this
point.
I did hear
when Ham was talking about this coming in, this may be a moment for him. This may be an opportunity that he's ready to take advantage of right
now. Yeah. It's good stuff, man.
We got to get out of here. What do you guys got coming up?
We got more Kings.
Obviously.
All right, more Kings, talking Kings, talking this A's Sacramento-Oakland saga just a little bit.
Yeah.
And a little Stephon Diggs, too. That's going to be interesting. So
yeah, we didn't talk about that at all today, Stephon Diggs trade.
Yeah. Mm.
So somebody say, everybody's going to try building their team like Houston now. Oh, getting a great rookie quarterback on a rookie contract? Brilliant.
Do I have 2 seconds?
No, but okay. Go ahead.
There's a chart I'm going to show you. They showed when was the last time every team took a player at X position.
Uh-huh.
The Saints haven't taken a quarterback, and it said, like, not available in the first round.
That's wild.
Like, that everybody was like 2009, 2000. Saints was not available.
Nope. N.A.
That's crazy. Crazy.
All right, that's Kenny Caraway. He and D'Lo are coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.